Good morning. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry, here with a Friday morning devotion, encouragement, and prayer time. This morning, I'm into day two of the devotional In Christ Alone. This is a devotional book, a 31-day devotional journal that I wrote a number of years ago, where each day is wrapped around some aspect of something the Bible says about who we are in Christ. And I have people often ask me as I travel to conventions and conferences and such as to share the books that God has allowed me to write, which is my favorite? And that's always a tough question to ask. It's always a tough question to answer. But most of the time, unless there's something going on in my life that points me to a different book specifically to address that issue, most of the time the answer revolves back to this being kind of the foundation. Specifically in the devotional journal style writing selections that I've done, that until I'm comfortable to some extent with who I am in Christ, the rest of my pursuits of God, the rest of my pursuits of living out the Christian life, I think we'll be missing something. And so it's this coming back to some foundational issues, some identity issues. As I mentioned yesterday, it's this idea that the world, the culture, the people around us try to identify who we are. They try to pinpoint and put us into various compartments, so to speak. You look like this, so you must be this. You do this for a living, so you must be this. Whatever. There's, as I said, myriad breakdowns of how we identify and where we get our identity from. And so today the topic is, in Christ, I am dead to sin. Now, I almost feel I need to say up front that that doesn't mean I no longer sin. But it does mean that I have allowed sin to be crucified so that it no longer has power or authority over me. That the times where temptation grows and I give in, that's not who I am. That I can know that the blood of Christ forgives and cleanses me from all unrighteousness. And so being dead to sin means that I'm not pursuing it any longer. I'm rejecting it. I'm considering it crucified with Christ, just as Paul writes and says that don't you know that all of you who have been immersed into Christ have been buried with Him? Your sins have been buried, and then you've been risen with Christ to a new life. Paul writes this kind of an answer to the idea that if grace abounds, should we keep sinning? And it's like, well, of course not. You're dead to sin. Sin should not control or have authority over you. As we think about that, it's incredible. Because so many people live life being identified by someone else by their sin. Perhaps you live life and in certain circles, at least, that you live in, perhaps you have been and continue to be identified by some sinful behavior in your past. You see, those are tough things. When the world, when even our fellow Christian brothers and sisters in Christ label us by a sinful activity. Because the more that we hear, the more we believe it. I think of Bible characters. I think of Joshua and Jericho and the spies going in, and for so long we would talk about the woman that hid the spies as Rahab the harlot. And I know that there's question regarding the wording that's used there as to whether she really was a woman of ill repute, or some would say the word is really revolving around an innkeeper or a housekeeper. But regardless of what her lifestyle was like prior to hiding those spies, that's not really who she was. She was a helper to Israel, a helper to the God of Israel. I often wonder what it would do for our estimation of her. If generations would have grown up considering her to be Rahab the brave, Rahab the risk taker. If her identity that had been passed along would have been something other than based on a sinful activity, particularly as we study and consider whether that was really an accurate translation. I think of Jesus and the woman caught in adultery. Those that brought her to Jesus wanted to give her the identity of that act. Never mind the fact that even though the claim was that she was caught in the act, that there's no mention of a man being brought to Jesus. The Jewish law would have had the similar punishment for him. But in the eyes of these Jewish leaders, she was simply a pawn to be used in an attempt to trick Jesus, to trap him. And from their view, why not use this woman whose identity was less than stellar in their eyes? But that's not the identity that Jesus gave her. Jesus gave her an identity of forgiveness. And again, I understand why we do it, because it tells a powerful story of forgiveness. But what would happen? What would change in our mind if every time we thought of that story, instead of thinking of the woman caught in adultery, we thought of the woman forgiven by Jesus? You see, that's what I'm talking about being dead to sin, about our identity not being involved in the sins that we've committed. You see, God looks at you, he looks at me, and he doesn't, if he has conversations with his angels about us, he doesn't say, ah, there goes the liar. There goes the cheater. There goes the adulterer. There goes the greedy. There goes the lustful. There goes the murderer. There goes the hateful. See, our identity in Christ isn't based on the sins that we have allowed to be crucified with Christ. Instead, I could picture God saying, there goes my son, there goes my daughter, there goes the helpful, there goes the encourager, there goes the generous, there goes the merciful. You see, how we identify ourselves often spills over into how we identify others. And I believe it's why it's so critical to recognize our identity in Christ as being dead to sin. Because it's when we accept that identity, we begin to see others more accurately. If we've been made to believe our identity revolves around sinful activity that we've done, we're more than likely going to see others in that same way. But if we can recognize and accept and embrace the full forgiveness that Jesus has offered as our sins have been crucified with Christ, it's a whole lot easier to see others in that same way, to see their identity in Christ rather than in their past, rather than in the actions that they don't even want to do. Paul writes, and he talks about that struggle that I'm guessing we all experience, or at least I identify with. That the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Oh, I love those words. Oh, wretched man that I am. But praise be to God. My identity in Christ is not based on that, because I am dead to sin. Today, as we spend some time in prayer, I would encourage you to examine your life, to really spend time with God, saying, what have I taken on as an identity that doesn't belong, that I'm actually dead to? Who do I identify according to their sin rather than according to God's forgiveness? You see, we have an opportunity to be powerful instruments of change simply by viewing people as Christ views them, simply as viewing our own identity as Christ views it, simply by viewing one another. According to the covering that they've received from Jesus. Would you spend some time praying with me this morning? Father, thank you that you are a God that has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. That by the blood of Jesus that we've been washed clean. That we've been buried with Christ and our sins have been crucified with Christ. So that it's not I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. Father, may you help each one of us today to grasp hold of that identity. May we see ourselves as you see us, washed by the blood of your Son. And Father, as we begin to live with an identity of being dead to sin, may that empower us to view others differently. To view those that whose sins have been obvious and known as those who are forgiven. To those who are washed, who are cleansed. And Father, I ask in full confidence because you've promised that even as one who lives dead to sin but continues to sin, forgive us as we turn to you, as we repent, as we continually seek to change our ways, to allow your Spirit to mold us into the image and likeness of Christ. Father, today as we consider the world that we live in, the community that we live in, the family that we live in, may we look at one another differently because we look at them through your eyes. Father, help us to value each person, to see them as the person that you created rather than as the sin that they've committed. Father, today I continue to pray that this virus would be wiped from the face of the earth. I pray that about the COVID-19 virus. I pray that about the virus, the sin of hatred, of division, of prejudice, of anger. Father, today as we live life, may we be resolved to live as those who walk in the light, as those who set our minds on the things above and not on the things of this earth, as those who whose lives have been transformed for your glory and to share the good news of Jesus. Father, today as we live life, I pray for the children, the families of our communities. May we protect them. Protect their spirits, their minds, even as we protect them physically. May we be mindful of the age appropriateness of the things that we say, that we allow them to see. Give us wisdom in explaining at their level the things that are going on and how they can live in such a way to walk humbly, to show mercy, to act justly. Father, as we consider today, not knowing what all will unfold today, let alone in the future, when temptation comes, may we reject it, knowing that we're dead to sin. And whether that temptation is an act of sin on our part or whether it's simply a temptation to label somebody else according to their sin. May we stand firm in your love and embrace one another with the love of Christ. Father, today, may we lift up Jesus as we stand firm in our identity in Him, that others would see Him in us and be drawn into a full relationship with You through the blood of Your Son, Jesus. It's in His name that I pray. Amen. This has been the Friday morning devotion, encouragement, and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. Thank you for joining me. Tomorrow, Saturday, weekends, do a little later, probably around 8 o'clock, trying to shift some times as the summer brings about different activity levels and an opening up of so many things. But I do appreciate so much being able to share with you and as much as anything, for me to be able to spend this time with God in a way that I pray encourages you. I do pray that you are greatly blessed by God today, that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.